Please remain standing for the reading of the Lord's Word this morning from 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this epistle of 1 John that proclaims light in the midst of darkness. We pray that as Your word is proclaimed this morning, that Your words would be spoken forth, that You would use me in spite of my weakness, that You would give us alertness as we hear from You. I thank You for Your word. I thank You that You have shined in the darkness. We thank You for Your cleansing us of sin, and we praise You and we give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. John writes in the beginning of his gospel, in 1 John 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I really want those words to sink in to you this morning. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, so we see a lot of darkness in our world today, don't we? We see Ebola, ISIS, war, famine, drought. We see a lot of mudslinging in politics, which ought to lighten up for a week or two, at least till after Thanksgiving. And then campaign 2016 will probably start. We see crime. We see alcoholism. We see abortion, unwed mothers, sexual promiscuity and immorality, the legalization of same-sex marriage. And some of you are beginning to think, I came here on Sunday morning to be encouraged by God's word, and if you keep going on with that list, I'll leave discouraged. I don't have to tell you the world's a dark place. I don't have to tell you that there are problems that are going on outside these walls. I don't have to tell you about sin. You know those things. You read the same news headlines and stories that I do. And that's why I begin this morning with those words of encouragement from John's gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the light of the world? That God is sovereign over the affairs of the world, that kingdoms rise and fall by His decree, that He is in charge. No matter which political party controls Congress and no matter who is in the White House, that He is God over sickness and disease and disaster and storm and triumph and tragedy. Do you serve a little God or a big one? That's usually where fear comes into play. We can look at the world around us today. We can see all the depressing things that are out there in society, and we can fall into fear and panic, or we can say, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen? You know, we Christians, of all people, have the most to be excited about. Our God reigns on high, and nothing in this world happens by accident. Now, as I say that to try to get you in the proper frame of mind this morning with our world and things that are going on today in our world, that doesn't mean that we ignore the darkness. That doesn't mean that we pretend that those things, those issues don't exist. That doesn't mean that we just put on a happy face and pretend everything's okay out in our world today. We as Christians, above all others, ought to be optimists, but we are realists as well. We do need to be truthful about sin. We do need to deal with sin. We need to deal with our world and with each other honestly. We cannot put on rose-colored glasses and just ignore all that is going on. How much compassion will you and I as Christians have for those who are fearful of Ebola and terrorism, or those who are going through pain and suffering in their lives, and just say, you know, Jesus loves you and the Bible says everything's going to be all right, so turn that frown upside down and smile. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not good news. We could just say, don't worry, Jesus has everything under control. Don't worry, this world is not our home. Don't worry, trust God. All true statements. But can we share the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world with some compassion, knowing that those who are dead in their sins are fearful as to what is to come, or they are suppressing the truth, or both? And even those who are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation have times of doubt and fear and insecurity, and they need encouragement and not mere platitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 tells us, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are to be salt and light in our world today. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Peter says that we are aliens and strangers here. But instead of being the salt and light that we are called to be, we often go to one of two different extremes. We either act and live like the rest of the world that has no hope, kind of like if you can't beat them, join them kind of attitude, and then the world never sees a difference in our lives. Or we distance ourselves so much from the world and simply hang out with our Christian friends, afraid that the world might taint us and we don't have any opportunities then to be salt and light. As we continue on today in our look at 1 John chapter 1, I want you to be encouraged and remember the light of the world, Jesus Christ, who shines in the darkness. And I want you to remember your role as well, to be salt and light in this world around us. It really seems to me like it was 6 months since I was here last, but it's only been 4 weeks. A lot has happened in those 4 weeks. 4 weeks ago, we began to look at 1 John and discuss some important overarching themes and purposes for this little letter that John writes. Heresy has risen early on in the life of the church. Now, many heresies stem from a false belief of who Jesus is. I told you John was writing this epistle to combat this heresy of docetism. Jesus just seemed to be a man. He just seemed to appear in the flesh. He just seemed to be human, but he really wasn't human. But if this were true, then we are still dead in our sins. If this were true, then we are the most to be pitied, because without the humanity of Christ, we have no sacrifice for sins. We have no Savior who died, was buried, and who rose again on the third day. If Jesus only appeared to be human. So John begins this letter by combating this doctrine of demons in the first few verses by stating that he and the other apostles were eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ. John says, the Eternal One, who was from the beginning, we heard Him, we saw Him, we looked upon Him, we touched Him, this Word of Life. We were there and we saw Him. He was truly human. And we testify and proclaim to you this word of life, the eternal life come from the Father. And we discussed how we too have a responsibility to proclaim this Jesus to those who would hear. And then in verse 3, we talked of the fellowship that we share as Christians because of our relationship with the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Today we're going to move on to verses 5 and 6 of this first chapter. Verses 5 and 6 again say, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." John once again in verse 5 states he was an eyewitness to the glory of Jesus Christ. This is the message that we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you. This message came directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Listen up, these words are true, is what John is trying to convey. You know, too many preachers today are giving messages that tickle the ear or make people feel good, but they are devoid of truth. They think they are giving a positive message, but they miss the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is this message that John heard? That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That simple message packs quite a punch. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. And later on in this epistle, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, we read the message the world likes to throw around out of context. God is love. We hear that today all over society. God is love. Love, love, love. Love is all you need. God loves everyone. God loves you just the way you are. He made you special. You don't have to change. You don't have to deal with sin. God loves everybody. God can't wait for you to get to heaven and be with Him because He'll be blessed in your presence. More like a self-help gospel, but not one that makes you look at your sin in a serious way. You know, we cannot even begin to unpack the message behind the phrase God is love in 1 John 4:8 until we work our way through this epistle. For today we start with the words God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And those words ought to make you both be ready to shout amen, and they should also make you think seriously about your sin. John Calvin in his commentary on 1 John 1:5 writes, "When therefore God, on the other hand, is called the Father of light and also light, we first understand that there is nothing in Him but what is bright, pure, and unalloyed. And secondly, that He makes all things so manifest by His brightness that He suffers nothing vicious or perverted, no spots or filth, no hypocrisy, no fraud to lie hid. Then the sum of what is said is that since there is no union between light and darkness, there is a separation between us and God as long as we walk in darkness, and that the fellowship which He mentions cannot exist except we also become pure and holy." God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. God is the opposite of that which is darkness. Darkness cannot dwell in the light of God. And that fellowship that John mentions in verse 3 is impossible unless we too become pure and holy. We cannot dwell in the presence of a holy God in our sinful state. Part of the problem in our world today is that modern man doesn't think he is separated from God. You know, as I mentioned earlier, modern man thinks God would be blessed to have him in heaven. We all think we're pretty good, or at least not that bad, not as bad as my neighbor over there. We do not fully grasp that light and darkness cannot coexist. Most of evangelical Christianity today does not really believe that man is dead in his sin. They believe he's just sick. And he can meet God halfway in order to save him. Man doesn't need a savior. Man just needs a little bit of help, a little push in the right direction, and he'll find his own way. Turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Paul has a different message here than the message that we get from modern Christianity in our culture today. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Verse 1 tells us, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. Verse 5 repeats again, even when we were dead in our trespasses. Friends, dead means dead. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. You know what great words for you and I to use to share the good news with others. Most people think they're pretty good until you push them a little bit. When we compare ourselves to God, we are not light. We are not pure and holy. We are dead. We are sinful. We are lost. And that, how can that which is dead, sinful, and lost spend eternity with a holy God? I'm glad you asked. Only through Jesus Christ, who lived a holy, sinless life and who died on my behalf, can I spend eternity with a holy God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Not because of how special I am. Not because I have it all figured out. Not because I am so great, but because He is. I get to dwell in the light of God because of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's good news to us. But to those out in our world today that are comfortable in sin, who are living in darkness, the fact that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all ought to scare them a little bit. It ought to make them be concerned. But the world seems to enjoy sin. In John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. Now I pray that our hearts are not calloused to evil. That we don't look around us today and think, you know, well, those people out there that persecute Christians, those people who despise God, who mock Christianity, I can't wait till they stand before God Almighty, because then they'll pay for their sin and their arrogance. Well, we should pray for God's justice to be done. We should never rejoice in the fact that many people who love the darkness rather than the light will spend eternity. That ought to break your heart. That ought to cause you to weep for the loss that you know. Shouldn't our heart be that God would draw men to Himself and that they would repent and turn from their sin rather than embrace and enjoy their sin? Jesus, the light, has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. If you want to know what is wrong in our world today, that pretty much sums it up. There will not be more light in this world simply because the Republicans took control of Congress. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can really change Congress. America does not have a political party problem, it has a sin problem. Yes, we need to vote godly men into office. Yes, we need to enjoy the freedoms that we have in a country such as ours. We need to be involved, but let us not make politics or any other thing our God. Voting this guy in over that guy will not fundamentally change the course of our nation. Instead, we need to pray for those in authority and pray that the men who lead us would do so on their knees, crying out for the favor of Almighty God and repenting of our sins, which are many. Remember when I started this message, I talked about the sin out there in our world today, and there's a lot of it. I named off a short list of sins. You know, it's really easy for us to look out at the world and see the other guy's sin. It's easy for me to see the other guy's sin. It's easy for us to think that we can hide in our Christian circles or in the confines of our church buildings and think the sin is merely out there somewhere, but it doesn't touch me. But there is a darkness that we don't like to see. There's a darkness we don't like to see. Look at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You'll notice the second word in that verse is not them, but we. We. It's talking about us. It's so much easier to deal with someone else's sin. It's easier for me to see their sin and point out their sin and deal with their sin. But my own sin, that's a whole other story. This verse is dealing with Christians living in unrepentant sin. And it would be nice to think that we've got things all figured out. And that on the road to sanctification, we are so far down that road that we can't even begin to compare ourselves with the rest of the world. But the reality is that most Christians today are holding on to sins they should be repenting of. And instead, we look out at the world and pretend to live by works righteousness instead of by the blood of Jesus Christ. My sins aren't as bad as those other folks' sins. My sins are small potatoes because God really loves me. Every time a scandal happens in the Christian community and someone else's sin is exposed to us, we are shocked and we are disillusioned because we place so much more faith in men rather than in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Instead of waiting for our sins to be exposed, we need to expose them and bring them into the light and repent of them. You can't shock me by telling me that you're a sinner. And I hope I can't shock you by telling you that I am a sinner. There are only two types of people in the world today, redeemed sinners and unredeemed ones. Every single person sitting in this room today struggles with sin. We all do. Let me ask you a simple question this morning. What's the first thing that pops into your mind when I ask you, what is the one thing that you hope nobody in this room ever finds out about you? You know, if something popped into your mind, that might be an indication that you have a problem with sin that you may be hiding, something that you need to deal with. Or try this question. What's the one thing that you do that you know might not be really right or good, but you just keep doing it anyway because you don't really want to let it go? You aren't willing to change. Whatever that thought, or you just thought, that might be another area that you need to deal with in life. Every single one of us struggles with sin. And it's so easy to play the blame game. It's so easy for us to sit back and say, you know, that sin is really... sin is out there. It's not in here. Sin is what those people outside of Jesus Christ deal with, not us saved folks. Maybe we aren't appreciative of what God has done for us because we don't really see the wretches that we really are, how bad we really are, how totally depraved we really are. Todd Friel is a man who has a TV show and a radio show called Wretched. And he said, "I am the wretch the song is talking about." You know that song, Amazing Grace. Sing the first verse with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Beautiful song. But you know what the real problem with that song is? The real problem with that song is that we sing the words to that song, but deep down inside, we really don't believe that we're wretches. We believe that we're pretty good. Either we embrace some form of instant sanctification that said, you know, I used to be a wretch, but now because of Jesus Christ, I am good. And as Christians, the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to you, but we all still struggle with sin. Romans says there is none good, none righteous, no, not one. Yes, you as a Christian are on the path of sanctification, and hopefully you are hating your sin more and more and repenting of it more and more and becoming more like Jesus Christ. But the problem is too many times, too many people inside the church, out of the church, ignore their sin. We ignore it. You know, a few years back, I didn't think I was all that bad anymore. I thought, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. You know, things are getting better and better. And then I read the Westminster Larger Catechism's questions on the Ten Commandments, and I thought, I'm a mess. I'm wretched. I'm a putrid sinner in need of a Savior. You know, that's a good place for us to be. You and I deserve hell just as much as the man or woman out there who loves the darkness rather than the light. But by the grace of God, He chose us. By God's grace. Ephesians 1 verses 3 through 10 tell us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ," excuse me, "as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth." That right there, my friends, is good news. That is why we can look at the darkness that we don't want to see and deal with it. He chose us before the foundation of the world. We have been adopted as sons. How can we, or why would we choose to hang on to sin when we have been given so much? If we say we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Those are frightening words, or at least they should be. Those words basically say, if we say one thing and yet live another, we are liars, we're not practicing the truth. You've all heard the word hypocrite thrown around about people who go to church. You know, those outside the church will often say, "I don't want to go to church because church is just full of hypocrites." Usually when a non-Christian says that, they want an excuse to not have to go to church or be pressured into going to church. And they're usually just seeing the fact that Christians still sin. We're not perfect. Every Christian in the body of Christ sins. You know, the reality of verse 6 here is really something much more sinister. This describes someone living in unrepentant sin and acting like they aren't. Someone who is willingly walking in the darkness. Someone who is clinging to their sin. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning. As I've said, every Christian struggles with sin. That's not what I'm trying to address here. We all struggle. There are some people who claim to wear the name of Jesus Christ, yet flaunt their sin, embrace their sin, and love their sin more than they love Jesus Christ. If that is you, you need to repent. You need to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ. You cannot live in the darkness and claim to be in the light. And unfortunately, today in the body of Christ, there are a lot of liars, to use John's terminology, running around in the church today. Those who claim, God's going to overlook my sin. God doesn't care about my sin. God doesn't care if I do this. He doesn't care if I do that. There are many who are living with the ideas that the Roman Christians had that Paul was dealing with. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Those early Christians in Rome mistakenly thought that, you know, if I sin, God's grace covers over my sin. So if I sin more, I get more grace. So I should just keep on sinning and get more grace. Or the idea, you know, it doesn't matter what I do now that I'm a Christian because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, so I can just live like I want to live. And Paul corrects that thought in Romans chapter 6. Let's look at verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Are you allowing sin to have dominion over you? Verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. The real question comes down to, who or what is reigning over your life? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it sin? We do not strive in the battle with sin in order to gain salvation. We are not depending upon our works to save us, but we do desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus. We do strive to deal with our sin because we have been redeemed because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. I believe it's time for the church to get serious about sin. We have overlooked sin in the church for far too long. We have played at being Christians, but in many ways, we have embraced the ways of the world. It's easy to look out there. It's easy to look at the world. It's easy to compromise our beliefs. It's easy to let things slide slowly like that frog in the kettle that's heated up to a boil. We've let our guard down and sin has crept in. The darkness that we don't want to see is the sin that we hide from everyone else. This week, let's get honest about our sin. Let's make sure that we aren't hiding our struggles. Let's make sure that we don't let it grow in our lives, but that we deal with it, not in our own strength, not in our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you this morning, pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps. I'm not telling you this morning, put more human effort into your battle with sin. I'm not telling you to strive to change externals. I am asking you to deal with the internal. And we need to fight this battle on our knees. We need to first of all be honest with ourselves and others and own up to our own sin and ask God to forgive us. We need to stop hiding so we can start growing. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And remember, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You once again for Your Word. We thank You for what it reminds us of. We thank You that You are light, that there is no darkness in You, that darkness cannot dwell with You. We thank You for the redemption that comes only through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the forgiveness that You offer to us. We thank You that His righteousness is imputed to us, and at the same time we know that on this earth we still struggle with sin. Many times we want to deny it. Many times we want to ignore it. Father, I pray that You would work in our hearts and help us to reveal our sin and repent of it. That we would not just look at our world today and say, you know, that world is really a mess. That world has so many sins and struggles, but we're not honest about the things that tempt us and the things that trip us up and the things that we're struggling with. May we practice more that verse we read in Sunday school, that we would confess our sins to each other and pray for each other, that we might be healed. Lord, I pray that You would help us to deal with our sin, that we would look to You for our righteousness, and that we would fight this battle of the flesh on our knees, clinging to You and Your Spirit for strength and help and guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you please?